Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We are now in lesson 281 in Revelation chapter 2, at which point the Apostle Paul is writing this letter that Jesus Christ gives him to another of the churches of God. This time it was the one in Pergamos, and obviously it's a message to all the churches and to the entirety of the body of Christ, anytime, anywhere, at any given generation until he's coming. With particular messages for specific times, but also with messages for the rest to hear and fear, not to follow the same examples, you see. And if they would follow God and obey God, no matter where they are, whatever group and congregation or community or configuration, the reward will be the same. And all the rewards that he offered any given of these communities here, it's applicable to all. And so he says to them, in essence, that there are certain things about them that he does not like. He hates it. You see, their sacrifice to idols, they're following the doctrine of Balaam, you know, their engagement in sexual immorality, going to the temple prostitutes, bringing it into their own midst, claiming that they are worshiping God because those pagans brought it with them and deceived them to believe likewise, like they've always done it with the children of Israel. And the false prophets that rise from their midst, children of Israel, that like to have all those kind of things and deceive people, and since people go for it, they don't have a difficult time leading them astray. You see, and the devil injects into their minds and hearts all kind of thoughts and emotions and feelings and deceives them. And this is what these people were doing. We should have known better. And then they also had the problem of the Nicolaitans, which was lawlessness, disobedience to the law of God, and many other things. And so he tells them in verse 16, repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. You know, that is those people who are doing those kind of things. Just blot them out, destroy them, because the death penalty was never done away with. In the old administration, he gave it to men to go and execute the death penalty, so it was called the ministry of the administration of death. You see, as Paul would say, the letter kills. But in his body, as he came, he established them in the faith and lived his life in them and put his spirit in them, the spirit of the Father and the law that is spiritual that they are to walk in. He executes the penalty. He doesn't leave it up to men to do so. That's what he did, but he uses men now and then, one way or the other. We don't know exactly how always, you see, as he did with Peter when a couple, pretended to be people of God, you know, generous, giving, Ananias and Sapphira. Well, Jesus Christ pronounced the death penalty through his mouth. You see, Peter was not killing them. He was not taking the sword, you know, or hanging them or stoning them. He wasn't doing any of that. He just pronounced the word because God put it in his mouth. That's what he's saying here. I will come quickly and kill them with the sword of my mouth, that is, with my word. And he spoke that word through Peter and they died. You see, that's what he's talking about here. He's going to kill them. He's going to kill every single one of us who insists on walking in wickedness, and before we become demons, he's going to destroy us. You see, that's what he's saying here. So people should never kid themselves just because, you know, supposedly they are the body of Christ, they are people of Christ, you know, they can do whatever they want, get away with it. You see, to justify themselves, you know, they came up with this, the pagan church based a lot of their theology on Plato and Aristotle. You know, the dualism, one of them. You know, the spirit is okay, fine, you can never destroy it, you can never contaminate it, but the body is filthy and polluted. That's how they came about, you know, with the vile, you know, filthy, polluted attitude about sexuality. And so people said, okay, I guess I can do with my body whatever I want, but, you know, as long as my spirit is pure and clean, you see, a woman can say, oh, I can be a prostitute, but I can be pure before God. Just go to the church and give some money. I see them literally when I used to live in Paris, working in that district, the fashion industry, you know, district in Paris, all those churches were there open. I would see the prostitutes dressed nicely. You know, they oftentimes are mothers who take their kids to school and then go over there and practice the profession. After that, they go home. In between, some of them used to go to church, give some money, feel good about it, go back and do it all over again. You see, that's of the devil. That's not of God. Yeah, these people were doing that. That's how people can deceive themselves and still think that they are, well, I'm a Christian. You know, they wear a cross around them that makes them feel holy. You see, all that is garbage in the sight of God doesn't mean anything. So he says, you better repent or else I'll kill you. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In other words, that's applicable to all of you. You play games with me, I'll kill you. Simple. The wages of sin is death. You see? And sin is a transgression of the law of God. And these people were transgressing the law of God. And so he says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, overcome, you know, you overcome lawlessness, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. Again, it's something that is applicable to all. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. That's for everybody who is going to serve God. And then he says in verse 18, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, this thing says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire. Again, you know, he describes himself, and his feet like fine brass. You cannot capture that in a picture. You see, in a painting, to begin with, that's lawless to do that. Against the law of God, that's idolatry. One of the commandments, one of the oracles, forbid that. Yeah, people do it to this very day, and they feel holy about it. Especially you find it in the Catholic churches, but even a lot of Protestants do it too. And he says, I know your works, love, love is a fulfilling of the law, service, faith, and your patience, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. You see, they were increasing in knowledge and grace and understanding in maturity of their love. Nevertheless, he says, even about them, I have few things against you. That's applicable to every single one of us, and we all know that. If we're honest, we look at the mirror of the law and we find out there's a lot of filth in us. And this is what Christ tells us. You know, I've got few things against you. Nevertheless, I have few things against you, he says to them, because you allow. You're not doing it, but you allow it. That woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, that was a particular problem that was in a certain area. A woman, to allow a woman who calls herself a prophetess, claiming to be receiving, you know, revelations from God, and allowed it. Why? Because that was common among the Gentiles to have women who give the oracles. The way they, you know, there you went to the pagan temples, you found them there all over the place. You see, there's nothing wrong with a woman prophetess. There were some women prophetesses among, you know, the people of God, but they were genuine ones, and they were not teaching lawlessness. But this woman Jezebel, you see, whether it was her real name or not, you see, when you think about Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab was Jezebel, and she was the daughter of the Phoenician king, who was an Edomite. You know, that's what Phoenician means, Edom, you see. And she brought idolatry in a much greater way into Israel and caused the king to follow it, you know, just prostrate himself before it, as God said about him. He told the prophet that he sold himself to do evil more than those who came before him, and he taught all of Israel to do likewise. And so this woman became synonymous with idolatry, immorality, sinfulness, idol worship, Baal worship, you know, all those kind of things. You see, she became symbolic. That's, you know, and so this is what he's saying here, whether it is symbolic, you know, of a certain person that was doing it, or symbolic of a church itself, or a certain woman herself that was doing it, you see. It could be either one, but it seems to be speaking about a particular woman who calls herself a prophetess. God didn't call her prophetess. To teach and to seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality, just like the others were doing in another congregation. They were pagans. That's all they've known all their lives. And they say, oh, that's the way we worship God. That's what Israel did, you know. They created those phallic symbols of a male organ, the penis, and they worshipped it, you know, because life came from that. And they had women, you know, statues and breasts, a lot of breasts on them, the god of Ashtoreth, Easter, you see. Well, that means fertility, the goddess of fertility. And so they had rites, and they worshipped, and they had a lot of sex there, right there in the open, everybody with everybody, because that's how you worship God. That's how they were deceived to believe. And this woman was doing the same. Something old has always been there, nothing new, you see. And so that's what she's doing, teaching my people and seducing them, you see. My servants, who should serve me, you see, not the devil, not his demons, not all those lies and deceptions. So she was seducing my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. So here it is. Servants of Christ on one hand, doing that on the other. Are they different today? If they don't do it physically, they do it spiritually. You see? And it says, and I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Whether he talks about a congregation, a people, community, or a woman, doesn't make any difference. There was no repentance there. Israel did not repent, and Israel was called throughout the scriptures a woman. So whether he's talking about the same concept, you see, only God knows. Ultimately speaking, we know the examples there. This woman, like Israel, was not willing to repent, so he threw them out of the land after great punishments, you see. And so this is what he's saying here. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. Because that's lawlessness. That's against the law of God. Again, you see, the law of God is constantly being taught, preached, you see, by the people of God. There was never a change in that. There's no such a thing as Old Testament law, you know, New Testament law. That's one book, one God, one Lord, one Savior, one doctrine. You see, you're either obedient to the law of God or you're the devil. As simple as that. And the majority of those who call themselves Christians chose to be disobedient to the law of God and developed contempt against it and make fun of it and oftentimes burn the Bible and burn the Jews, you know, in the synagogues with their Bibles with them. You see, the Word of God, the law of God, because they think, well, you know, we've got our own Bible, you know, we don't believe in that Bible, so we're going to burn it. And some, you know, just burned everything in sight. You see, no wonder why the Catholic Church, you know, for centuries, oftentimes, several times, burned the Bible because they read these kind of things. They know what's in it, and they knew that it's talking about them. Those at that time and later on, because they continued to walk in the same faith, in the same path, in the same way. And so he says, if you don't repent, I will kill her children with death. He's talking about the ultimate death. And all the churches, because that's a message applicable to all generations, not only those particular seven, all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, so you can't hide anything from me. You can play all your games, I know them. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. That's applicable to every single one of us. So, if we study the law of God, if we look in the mirror of the law and we see that our actions are contrary to the law of God, this statement is for us. You will get according to your works. Can't play games, can't hide. Can't hide anywhere from God. We're naked before him. So that's a message to those people in particular, a message to every single one of the people of God. You see? And for that matter, to all of humanity. Verse 24, and now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known me, that is, who have not known the depth of Satan, in other words, the doctrine of Jezebel, those who didn't have that, who didn't participate in that, you see, just like all those Israelites, of whom Moses said, you see, you serve God, who is unto the Lord, let him come unto me, you see, because many of the Israelites were having a great orgy there and party and sexual immorality, you know, around the golden calf. That's what he's saying here to those people who were faithful, who didn't follow that. You see? And so he says to you, we do not have this doctrine. We have not known the depth of Satan. That's what it is. Depth of depravity, you know, and lawlessness and disobedience to the law of God. In this case, sexual matters and other things. As they say, I will put on you no other burden. So I'm not going to give you a hard time. You see? You're going to be delivered. But, he says, right in verse 25, hold fast what you have till I come. I was not coming in their day, so it's applicable to any given person on the face of the earth who knows God, who worships Christ, walks in his law. You wait until he comes. And most of us, you see, may be dead before he comes. And all those who lived in the past, obviously, they're all dead. But as far as they were concerned, you know, they were faithful until the end. They went to sleep. You're going to wake up, and there is Christ. So they held fast until he came. And he who overcomes and keeps my works, not the works of the devil, the depth of Satan, not lawlessness, not despising the law of Moses, which he gave to Moses and to Israel and to the whole earth, ultimately, he who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations, because the saints are going to become spirit beings, literal Elohim, divine beings. Now we are physical Elohim, because we were created in his image and likeness, and now in the flesh you already called us Elohim. as he himself said to his own people. You see, you know, in your law what it says. I said you're Elohim. Psalm 86, you see. So if it says about you, who are men, that you're Elohim, why, you know, why do you want to stone me because I say that I'm the Son of God? You see, we are all Elohim. In the flesh, in the clay. This is the mold in which we are now. And if we prove to God that we want to go His way, He will give us a spirit body, and then we shall be literal Elohim just like He is. Out of the same glory and power and might, He'll always have the preeminence over us, but divine beings, Elohim, joining the family. Just like, you know, the babies that you have in the family, you know, the begin is nothing, and then join your family. They become adults, and they're members of the family. They're not the father and the mother. They're not the elder brother, you see, but they're adults, you see, human beings. You see, that's what he's talking about here. This is the future of all of us. And so he said, I'll give them power over the nations. And he shall rule them. That is, any one of us. That's the power he's going to give us. That's a saint's reward beside divinity, authority, and power on earth. Not in heaven. Nobody goes to heaven. And this is what he's going to do. That is, for the rebels, he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces. Like the potter's vessels, that is the rebels against the law of God, worldwide, until they all learn you either be nice or else, and be obedient to the law of God, and all of them shall be. As God said through the prophet, for the Torah shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of God from Jerusalem. You see, the headquarters of God, of His saints, you see, and they're the positions all around the earth. The reward that he's going to give to every single one of them, depending on how much we have overcome in this world. You know, some will get 5 cities, some 10 cities, some a whole nation, whatever, you see. And they're going to rule them with a rod of iron, because they're not going to let anybody get away with murder. Lawlessness to the law of God, that's what he's saying here. It says, you get it, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. You see, and he is the morning star himself, and he himself is going to become a morning star. You see, he's going to be brilliant, look like the sun in full glory. He's going to be a divine being, power and authority, because they proved that they are going to walk in the law of God no matter what. Even death could not prevent them from obedience to the law of God. How many of us are in that category? You see, we must examine ourselves daily and see whether we are really in the faith or just kidding ourselves. And so he says, he that has an ear, anybody, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to all of us, and to the angel of the church of in Sardis, right, you know, the messenger. There were 7 of them. That's another one of them. This thing says he who is the 7 spirits of God. He's the one in charge of all the eras of the peoples, of the generations, you know, all the factions and all the people of God in any given generation and throughout all time. And so he had, you know, somebody special in charge of everyone, just like he has Michael in charge of Israel, the entirety of Israel. He's their archangel. He's not anybody's else but theirs. A lot of people, you know, worship Michael or Gabriel, and they pray to him. You see, those are fools, pagans, superstitious, and he's not listening to them. He's the prince only of Israel, all the tribes of Israel, even though many of them are Israelites, but don't know it. And so he says, this thing says he, who has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Big deal. So you've got a name. I'm a follower of Christ. You know, some people say, well, I'm a Christian. So what? I'm a believer in God. So what? The devil does too. Are you obedient to the law of God? If you are not, that's all you have, just a name. Meaningless. You see? That's like, you know, you call yourself, you know, you give yourself a name, you put a name, you know, over your business, and you do nothing. Your factory is dead and inactive, and yet, you know, you got a name there. So what? Doesn't mean anything. Are you producing? You got works. Are you active? Are you obedient to the law of God? That's what he's saying here. That's all you are. You just got a name. Meaningless. Totally meaningless. You see? And obviously, he's not happy with that. He says, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful. Be diligent, in other words, and strengthen the things which remain. You still have some good things there. You believe in Christ. You believe that he died for you. You may believe in the Sabbath, or, you know, maybe some holidays. You know, certain teachings, all the law of God. That's not good enough. You got to have it all. Because you have to love the Lord your God with all mind, might, you know, heart, soul, knowledge, grace, understanding, you see, every single law that is applicable to you. That's what he's saying here. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die because they too are on the way out. You know, you're just worn out. You have no energy. Christ doesn't live his life in you. You're not being renewed. You're not obedient. What should he give you more faith and more strength? For he says, well, I have not found your works perfect before God. You know, that's an understatement in that sense. You know, they're basically almost dead. Remember, therefore, how you have received, you see. Remember that. Because once upon a time when he got it, you were excited about it. So remember, go back to it, what you have received and heard, and hold fast, you see, hold fast to those teachings, and repent. All the teachings that you do not obey, or the law that you do not obey. There are a lot of people out there, and have been for quite a long time, they kept only the Sabbath, you know. They always talk about the Sabbath, the Sabbath, the Sabbath. Couldn't care less about the holidays of God. Couldn't care less about many other laws and teachings of God. They are in that category in any given generation. So it says, you hold fast to the things that you have, which are in the Bible, in the Word of God, and then repent of the things which you do not obey. Therefore, he says, if you will not watch, if you will not be diligent, get busy, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Suddenly, you'll be gone, one way or the other. You see? Now, it's not once saved, always saved. It's always conditional. If you keep my law and commandments, then I will make you a nation of priesthood, royal priesthood, holy nation. If that if is not kept, which is a condition always, there is no one saved, always saved, you're gone. God is not playing games. His death was not in vain. He cannot make, you know, his death a cheap thing, and his grace a cheap thing. Anybody can have it. Come as you are. You know, stay with your filthy garments of unrighteousness. It doesn't work like that. So the law of God is constantly being preached from the Garden of Eden to the end of the book of Revelation. The same law. You see, it's not a new God here. This is the God of Israel speaking here. God of Moses. The God that Moses feared before he was called to be the leader of Israel. As the Apostle Paul said, you know, to the Hebrews, that he esteemed Moses the reproaches of Christ rather than the pleasures of sin for a season. And as Peter made it very plain, that the Spirit of Christ that was in them and the prophets, when they were moved by it, they spoke. And Paul made it very plain who was that God that led Israel out of Egypt. That was Jesus Christ. That's the one who's speaking here. So you know what law is talking about. He says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, you know, speech. That means, you know, they were righteous. That's what the garments is talking about, garments of righteousness. And they shall walk with me in white, you know, without spot and blemish, without transgression, for they are worthy. But only few of them. Yet the majority pretend to be my people, calling themselves my people, maybe doing a little work here and there, keeping certain teachings of mine, of the law of God. And I, you know, and as for the rest, I couldn't care less about it. So he's warning them, I don't want you dead. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but to repent. That's why he said to his own people, look, the kingdom of God is at hand. You have an opportunity to begin to become members of that kingdom. Begin the process, but you must repent first. You see, without repentance against the law of God, you have no path, no way, no chance to ever be there. And when those that came out of the, you know, of the devil, not of God, deceived people to believe we don't have to obey the law of God and you can be there anyway. You know, you die, you'll be a good boy, you know, just keep Christmas, eat ham, you see, keep Easter, Christmas, Halloween, all those garbage, you know, pagan doctrines and teachings and everything else and have contempt for the law of God and you're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. You know, you're going to go to heaven. You see, that's how the devil deceived the whole world and all the children of Israel, unfortunately, who are in this religion or that religion, followed it and believed it. And practice it to this very day, thinking that they stand. We are good Christians. We are good Jews. We are good Muslims. You see? Deceiving themselves. So it says, only few of you are really genuine. Only the few found the straight path, the narrow road, didn't go in the broad way. Continue to walk on the law of God, no matter what, unto death. And so he says to all of them, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. In other words, just because your name is the book of life, it doesn't mean it cannot be blotted out. It's not once saved, always saved. That's what he's saying again and again and again and again. And how many people believe it? You see, they continue to walk in their lies and deceptions because it's convenient. It's where they can have their own agenda, do their own thing, and yet pretend to be good. You see, they think that they stand. And so he says, if you continue to walk in my law, repent, I will not blot out your name from the book of life, which means, conversely, if you don't, I will. And he says, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. You do not obey the law of the Father, he's not going to confess you to the Father. You see? And the holy angels obey God. And they are the ones in charge of us too. On a personal basis, God appoints angels, over all of his saints. Verse 6, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to all of them. And who is that Spirit? He, himself. He is the one speaking. He is the Holy Spirit. As Paul would say to the Corinthians, the Lord is the Spirit. That's what he's saying here. He's not talking about somebody else. He's talking about himself. You see? And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, he says, this thing says, he who is holy, who is true, he's not a liar, you see, and he cannot be true unless you speak the word of God and walk in the law of God. He who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens, he's the son of David. He's going to come back. He's going to sit on the throne of David, which is his to begin with. As you read in the scriptures there, back, with Solomon, it was a throne of the Lord, you see, that he was sitting on. It was not the throne of David, ultimately speaking, but the throne of the Lord. That's what he's saying here. I have that throne. I'm going to sit on it. I'm going to reign on the throne of David. The Father was going to give him, the throne of his father, David, as you read in Luke, before he was born, you see. And anyone who is going to overcome is going to sit on his throne. That's what he's talking about. I have it. You'll get to sit with me on that throne. And of course, people invent their own kind of doctrines and ideas what it means, not considering the entirety of the matter. And he says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. So I allow you to be able to speak the word of God, because there were many times where it was impossible because, the church, the great whore, the sight of God, was forbidding anybody who was preaching the truth, and they killed them, literally. They burned them at the stake. They destroyed them. They killed them. They made war against them. They butchered them. They sent armies against them. There's a lot of history out there, you see, about the martyrs and what they had to go through because of the religion of the devil that was reigning there, claiming to be the religion of God, religion of Jesus Christ. So he says, I'm going to give you an open door. Nobody can shut it. Only I can. For you have a little strength. You're not a great, powerful community. You have a little strength, but it doesn't matter, because I'm with you. For you have a little strength and have kept my word. He kept my law. That's what he's talking about. You're obedient. So you look for people who are in that category who obey the law of God, obey the law of Christ, you see, really obey it, not just their own idea or their own interpretation. This is the people he's talking about any given time. And so he says, you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Because he's the God of Israel. He's the rock. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the angel of the Lord. You see? He's the King of Israel. He's the husband of Israel. That's his name. He has many names. He has many names and he has many titles. He has many roles. He fulfills all of them. He's the high priest. You see, you haven't denied any of that. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, referring to the false pretenders who claim to be following Jesus Christ, claim to be the people of God. And he's talking specific about those who claim to be Christians. You see, God told them very plainly, you got to be a spiritual Jew. Salvation is of the Jew. You have to obey the law of the Jew, the law that God gave to the Jew, not the law that the Jew invented. You see, that's what he's talking about. This is what he, the Jew, taught Jesus Christ, son of David. This is what Paul did. This is what the apostles did. They're all Jews. That's the law he's talking about. The law that he gave from the Garden of Eden and through Sinai. You see, if you don't, you're a synagogue of Satan, not the synagogue of God. You see, you're the church of Satan. In other words, the people of Satan, not of God, because you do not obey the law of God. You do not follow God, and you don't keep his name. You see, and so he says, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews, again, repeats that as he did before. In other words, they are spiritual Jews, and they are not. They but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. When he resurrects his saints and they become spirit beings worthy of worship, because now they are divine beings, Elohim is going to make those people, when he resurrects them, to come and bow down before them. You see? Obviously, they were blind and ignorant. They didn't know what they were doing, most of them. They're going to come back as human beings. God is going to give them opportunity, and they're going to see the very people that they persecuted now being spirit beings. And they could have been just like them, but they rejected the law of God, and they're going to be under them, and they're going to bow down before them. They're going to worship them as divine beings, because they will be. That's what he's talking about here. And the pagan religion, and including Judaism and Islam, they don't believe it. This is the ultimate destiny of man, to be worshipped, to be a divine being, you see, to be a spirit being, to live forever. Not just a little puppy dog, you know, that looks at the face of the master and plucks a harp, you see, and all these deceptions and superstitions of the pagan religion that is called Christianity, for that matter, the paganism that is in Judaism and any other religion on the face of the earth, you see. And people who didn't like that, well, they burned the Bible many times. They didn't like all these things. And so it says, because ye have kept my command to preserve. Preserve in what? In the faith, in the truth, in the law. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world. So he's now talking about an end time event and a particular community that lives at the end time, who is going to see and to experience, at least to a degree, a time of tribulation upon the whole earth. So, you know, he's not talking now about that time, in the days of old, in the days of John, you see, but in end times. So some people have that understanding, and they know, basically, even though a lot of people, unfortunately, think that they stand, they've got their own doctrines and ideas, and each one think, well, we are the one, we are the one, they are not the one, you see, they are bad, we're good, we are the lively ones, you know, we're faithful, they are not, you see. All that is foolishness. You walk in the law of God, you obey the law of God, doesn't make any difference where you are, you see. That's the people he's talking about. You see, those who keep his command, not those who are members of this group or that group or the other group. That doesn't mean anything. And people in their foolishness, they think you got a membership in a certain group, you've made it. There's no such a thing. It's not an exclusive club. God has his people worldwide, and many of them are not even known, just like Elijah didn't know the people of God. And God had to tell him about it. You know, you think you're the only one. I've got 7,000. You don't even know about them. So let's not ever be haughty and arrogant and foolish, because if you continue in that manner, we're not going to be a part of this group. You see, because that's lawlessness, to think that way and to be that way and to act in that manner and to deceive yourself and others. And so he says, if you do that, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world, speaking about the tribulation, to test those who dwell on the earth worldwide. They're going to be given a lesson. What happens when you despise the law of God and the consequences of that? And some, the left over, the remnant, few, not many, of Israel, we have, you know, some scriptures that tell us more or less, only about 10% are going to be left of other nations, God says. You know, they're not going to even exist. Only very few individuals will be left behind. You see, God is going to determine how much wickedness is in the world and how much destruction is going to bring on them. You see, so everybody's going to be tested with that trial. He says, behold, I am coming quickly, hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Now, he wasn't coming quickly, you know, to the first generation, or second, or third, or fourth, you see. So it's more applicable, obviously, to the end time. I am coming quickly. Be faithful until the end, because God is going to allow the devil again, to allow martyrdom, to allow his church to take over, and to destroy many, you see, and to lead people astray, to make them believe that they are the true church and their doctrines of demons are the true church of God and the teachings of God and so forth. And people will follow that. They're not interested in pain, suffering, affliction, losing of their job and things like that. But the faithful would rather die than do that. You see, and to them he's coming quickly. And so he says, don't let anybody take your crown away from you. He who overcomes, you got to overcome until the end. If God doesn't deliver you in this lifetime, you have to resist unto death. So he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. One of the leaders, you see, in the kingdom of God to come. And That's applicable again to all. He's going to make it very plain. Some people think, well, that's applicable only to us. Well, everything else that he gave, you know, as a promise to his people, he said, let all the churches hear that. That's a message to all of them. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my God. Who is his God? The one that he obeys, the Father. The law that he obeys, the law of the Father. We must do likewise. These are the genuine people of God. So he's going to write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, heaven and Jerusalem, because we're going to be a part of it. The new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. You see? You don't go to heaven. Heaven comes down to earth with the Father in it and the holy angels and the sea of glass and all those things that you read about Jerusalem. And his saints are going to be in it. You see, this is not what the pagan church has taught. This is not what Protestantism teaches. This is not what Judaism teaches. This is not what Islam teaches. This is not what the world teaches. Because they're all deceived by the world, by the devil. They don't know it. A lot of them are good people, nice people, innocent people. Had they had genuine teachers, they would have known better. But they don't know any better. A lot of them are too lazy to open the Word of God and read it for themselves. So it says, those who are going to overcome, continue to walk in the law of God. The name of the Father will be in them because he is their God, their Father. He begot them. The name of the city will be in them because they're going to be members of that city, residents of that city, of the holy city. You see, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name, because he's going to be down on this earth in Jerusalem, in the temple, and heaven in Jerusalem at the end of all times, after the second resurrection, comes down here to where Christ is. And both of them are going to be in that temple and all the saints, all the righteous men of God, you see. Then later on you're going to read what's going to happen to all the rest. And so he says in verse 13, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit also says to the churches. That's a message to all. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, that's the last one, right? This thing says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Some people say, aha, well, Christ was created, you see. Now, Christ was not created in the sense as man was created. Christ was always there, without beginning, without an end. But he's the beginning of the plan of God in the sense of coming to this earth, flesh and blood, dying, resurrected, firstborn of many, and then many others to follow. That's the creation he's talking about. So you have to understand the biblical lingo, so to speak. Verse 15, he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. You see? Just, you know, going along. With the crowd, with the mainstream, the Broadway, feeling good, still having the name of God, you know, keeping certain doctrines, but, you know, not too hot, not too cold, not uptight, you see. People say to each other, well, don't get uptight, you know, just take it easy. Well, that's the attitude. They came into a world, or they are living in a world that says basically that, take it easy, you see, don't get uptight, enjoy it, you know, you live only once, so forth. Well, that was the total attitude, unfortunately, of these people of God. And so he's talking to them. That's the final message. And you find them at the end of time, when everybody, you know, is just doing their own thing. I did it my way. So he says, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, although that is neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you or spew you out of my mouth. Can't take it. You see? It's not once saved, always saved. You fall into that kind of an attitude, and that's the way, you know, that's the kind of marriage you're going to have, that's the kind of a relationship. I don't want it. And how many relationships are that way? They're not cold, not a hot. You see, they don't quarrel, they don't, you know, have conflicts, problems and all that, but they're not passionately in love either. What kind of a marriage is that? That's not marriage. You see, that's what God is saying. I'm not interested in this kind of a relationship with you, because the law is what? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, and with all of your mind. Fiery, stormy relationship, yet righteous. Not turbulent, you see. And people who are not willing to have that, who are not hungering for and thirsting for righteousness day and night, you see, who are not eating his flesh and drinking his blood and seeking with their whole being and heart, obviously, they're not going to have that kind of a relationship with him. A lot of people that way. They're just stagnating. They're barely there. You know, they're just, you know, pay their dues, so to speak, they go to church, you know, go to synagogue, go to a congregation, go to your people, you know, just come there, do not even come presentable before God, they don't know before whom they stand, you know, they come with their whatever, you know, they show no respect to God in their clothing, in their attitude, in their behavior, in their conduct, you see, in their listening, in their intent to be a part of the congregation and wholeheartedly praise God with their whole being and heart. They don't do any of that. They're just there. Well, to you, God is speaking. The people who are just there. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. That's a personal message to every single one of us. Because you say, I'm rich. On one hand, there are these kind of people. On the other hand, this is how they think about themselves, which caused them to develop that attitude. I'm rich. I don't need anything. I don't need to change. I know it all. I'm become wealthy, spiritually speaking. And have need of nothing. Nobody can teach me anything. Hey, I know the Bible. I've got many Bibles in my home. I know it all. Well, I've heard that message, you know, sermon before. I've heard that message before. Big deal. You see? You know, I can doze off and think about something else. Who needs it? What kind of an attitude is that if you are passionately in love with God, with His way, with His path, with His law? You see? That's what God, He said, I'm going to vomit you out. You say, I'm rich. And become wealthy, and have need of nothing. I don't need anybody to teach me anything, I know it all. And do not know that you are, from my point of view, not your point of view, you are wretched, so you are not rich, you are miserable, you are not rich, you are not wealthy, you are poor, you are blind, you can't even see it, and naked. You see, a lot of people are naked, a lot of governments are naked. A lot of organizations and churches are naked, and they're too blind to see it. And sometimes a little child looks at that, and he recognizes the king is naked. He's got no clothes on. Well, everybody's pretending everything is dandy and okay. You see? That's the kind of a world we live in. And so he says, I counsel you. I'm not going to give up on you. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. In other words, how do you refine gold? Trials, affliction, pain. You begin, you know, move your muscles, move your body, move your limbs. Begin to work. Work hard. It's going to take sweat, blood, and tears, yes. But that's how you're going to be refined. You see, take the high road, take the narrow road, take the straight path, which is much more difficult now, especially that you fall into that kind of an attitude. But do it, he said, that you can be refined in the fire, that you may be rich. And white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes, it says, with eye salve, that you may see. You can do it. Go to the mirror of the law. Read about this. See where you stand. Examine yourself. Get out of that attitude, you see. And so he says to them, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. It's because I love you. I don't talk to you smoothly. Oh, you are nice, good people of God. God loves you. Jesus loves you. You see, all that is vomit and lies and deceptions. God hates evil. He hates sinfulness. He hates wickedness. What do you mean you go to everybody and say, Jesus loves you? No, He does not. He loves those who love Him. He loves those who are obedient to Him. You see? And yet they go deceive the whole world. Jesus loves you. God loves you. That's a big lie, a major lie that is being preached and taught everywhere. Instead of teaching them that the wrath of God is upon them because of their iniquities and sins, and He's just about ready to vomit them out and throw them into a great tribulation. You see? That's where you find the ministers of the devil going and deceiving everybody and putting them to sleep. You're okay. You know, I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay. You know, you don't need to worry about anything. You've got it all made. Christ did it all for us long time ago. All you have to do is just go and sing to Him a few cute little songs, nice songs, you know, emotional, sentimental songs and things like that that are totally meaningless because there is nothing in them. No obedience of God in it, no passion, no fire. It's all meaningless. God is not interested in vain worship, as He told His own people through Isaiah. I'm not interested, you know, when you lift up your hands and pray to me. I'm not interested in your music, you see. In your worship, in your service and all that, get out of here, he said. Your blood, you know, your hands are full of blood. You're criminals. You're disobedient to the law of God. You cannot kid God. You cannot mock God. God is a consuming fire. And people ought to be taught, this is God. This is Jesus Christ. That's His nature. He is a man of war against enemies and against those who are lawless and disobey the law of God, and he's the God of love, he's the Lamb of God, he's a tender, affectionate, kind shepherd to the righteous, to the meek of the earth, to the obedient. So understand the difference. And don't deceive people about the nature of God, that is all love and kindness and sweetness and mushiness. You see, he's not. There is a time to kill and there is a time to make alive. There is a time to wound and to bruise and there is a time to heal. And unless you teach them the entirety of what God is, you are a liar. And most of the ministers of the world are liars and deceivers. Because they are the ministers of the devil, not of God. No wonder why the world is where he is. Where it is, you see. In a mess, in confusion, in madness, in insanity everywhere. And then the worst is still coming. You see, that's what tribulation is talking about. That is coming to test the whole world. And so that's what he's saying here. I'm saying that to you because I love you. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Be on fire. Be zealous. Be full of jealousy for the way of God, for the path of God. Don't compromise. Don't go the way of the world. Don't go the mainstream as most people do. And we'll stop it this morning. Again, this is Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until the next lesson.